History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Friday afternoon.
Didn't want to hear.
Oh, I believe on Friday we do a little thing called Festivus Friday at 5 o'clock, the airing of the grievances.
We will be airing the grievances. I'm so excited.
Hey, do we have the bowler coming in today?
3 o'clock. Today? You guys, 3 o'clock. There is a young girl in the state of Missouri who was the very youngest athlete to bowl a perfect game. Mm. Now, not only is she the very youngest athlete to bowl a perfect game, she has one more award in her trophy case. And so I saw this on the socials, reached out to her dad. I'm like, can you guys come in? We'd love to have you come in. And that is today at 3 o'clock. We need some good, just good news on Fridays.
During Festivus, we've had grievitudes before. I think that I have the very first ever gratigrievitude.
Wait. How can you grieve but still be grateful? I don't understand.
So a grievitude is a grievance that becomes a gratitude. I have a gratigrievitude. A gratitude that became a grievance that became a gratitude.
A gratigrievitude.
A gratigrievitude.
Here's what I would like you to do. No. I would like you to trademark that term because it's glorious.
Yeah. Gratigrievitude. Here we go.
So it started out as a... So I'm following the train here. Gratitude turned into grievance that then morphed back into gratitude?
Yes. So it's something that I've been waiting on for months that finally happened, and then it turned bad, and then it turned good. It's a gratigrievitude.
Okay.
Coming
I love it.
5 o'clock.
Okay. In Dana's honor today, we do have a switched at birth story in the stack.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that I'm so excited because that's devastating for someone.
This one is out of North Dakota.
Now, we did implement a rule a few months ago that certain topics were only allotted 60 seconds.
We are going to waive that rule today, and here's why.
I was going to present a motion to the board that we waive that rule for this particular story.
No.
Just this one?
Just this one.
Okay.
Got it.
I'll tell you this.
All in favor, say aye.
Sam and I actually wrote down out in the newsroom, 3 weeks ago, Sam? I said, name me... I think there's 4 things that I'm obsessed with. And he replied, just 4. And I go, no, you know the list. And I will ask Scott, can you remember the list? There's 4 things. Switched at birth is one of them.
Yes. I wasn't expecting to be put on the spot. Is golf one of them?
No, these are devastating things. I'll give you a hint.
Oh, serial killers.
Spontaneous
combustion.
Human combustion.
Yes.
And then feral children, which until now had not really been in the news. Like there was one case in the 1950s with a kid like Mowgli that was raised by wolves. And then now all of a sudden feral children are back in the news, even though they're saying they're not necessarily feral.
Where are the feral children? I didn't see that story.
Ohio.
Yeah, this happened while you were gone. It was a family. I actually calling it a family feels wrong. It was a group of people that happened to be related. And they had 16 children.
Oh, I did see that. That story made the Wall Street Journal.
They at one point had 18 children for a very short amount of time.
Right. And they all had the same last name or some of them had the same last name.
All from the same couple who came from the same couple. And all 20 of these people lived in the same 2-1.
Okay.
Two bed, one bath.
Wait, I want Scott to see the photo.
That's so gross.
Not that I want to spend a lot of time talking about the feral children, but since you brought it up.
You technically, but I asked for clarification.
Right.
Yeah, I digress.
The mother of the 18 children, two of them died, so there are 16 surviving children, started having those children at age 15 when she married her then 18-year-old husband. So let's just start there.
Who are the other two adults?
Mom and dad.
Mom and dad?
They look like brother and sister. I don't know. But they
his
are
mom
and dad.
His mom and dad.
There's a lot going on in that house. Mm-hmm. The one thing we keep coming back to that no one can explain to us is how in a small town with one small town hospital, this isn't KU Med and Children's Mercy, or maybe you pop over to Overland Park Regional. I don't know if we'll have time. This is a small town hospital. And she started having these children at 15. then 16, then 17, then 18, then 19, and then all the way up, and then four sets of twins, and no one asked in the healthcare system, mm-hmm. isn't that 24 people living in one 1,800 square foot house?
But to your point, and I get it, but who is supposed to keep track?
I don't know. I mean, isn't there a tally when you, oh, she's back again?
But, well, I understand
that's
that.
Like, aren't we at 12?
But like when you had your four children, how would you have felt if you're at home, you're nursing, it's like day 14 with Jack, and all of a sudden, hi, we're with the government. We just wanted to make sure that Jack is still here.
I know, but
living in the
you
house.
You don't find it a little odd that they will make sure that you leave the hospital with a car seat? They will go out with you and make sure, and they right. will not, because the baby's a patient too. The correct. Baby is the patient once the mom has the baby. They will not let you leave the premise without a car seat. So we enacted that rule, but there can be 24 people living in a house piled with poop, and the kids are almost dead, and roaches, and like all that, and no one thinks like there's probably something going on
but
in there.
But if nobody called, you know, a neighbor, or I'm assuming these kids never went to school.
Is there were no reports of for no. a welfare check. And there,
no,
they were,
there was no school. Yeah. The oldest one is 18 and cannot write her name.
So where is the public safety net, for lack of a better term, if the kids are never enrolled in school, okay, they never need or request government services of any kind?
They only went into that house, Scott, because they were serving a warrant for Dad for indecent exposure.
And then that's do they smell it, or do they see it?
Yes.
It was visible from the street. I mean, the house was in squalor inside and out. But it was, small town Ohio. Not necessarily different from the neighbors' homes. Not trying to, paint a broad brush about small town Ohio.
And so refresh my memory, the oldest kid in that house was how old?
18.
Yeah. 18.
And cannot write her own name.
Never been to school.
Never.
A day in her life.
Nope.
And where is she now?
They've all been taken into state custody.
The state of Ohio has set aside $1 million for their care because, I don't know, the word feral is awful. But what they have said is these children have not been outside. They have not been, I don't know.
It's very rural, southeastern Ohio, out in the back hollers.
The what?
The back hollers.
But Dan, I'm not blaming the healthcare system. I'm blaming the four adults that were in that house. But there is a very strong argument out there, and I'm not saying I agree with it, that the mother is a victim in this case because she was 15 when the birth started. Never finished grade school. Like, people are allowed to be poor.
They are, but I don't know that I'd be willing to call her a victim. I mean, she did know, did she not, wrong from right?
The argument about her being a victim is the idea that, one, a judge had to grant permission for the marriage.
At age 15.
That granting was likely rooted in the fact that, and this hasn't been confirmed, but it has been reported that she had a bit of a bad upbringing. I'm trying to be,
an abusive upbringing.
Yes. Okay. And so the judge may have seen it as, well, now you're pregnant and, you might as well move in with this guy because your other situation's not any better. And I don't know.
Okay. In other news, LeBron James is going to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Awkward transition party of one.
Well, I don't want to keep talking about these kids. I feel terrible.
I'll tell you this. The first thing I said when I read that LeBron James was moving, and then is Shaquille O'Neal going somewhere, or is it just LeBron today? Because he's long retired, right?
He retired like
no, I know.
10, 15 years ago.
Someone said to me today, did you see the news about Shaquille O'Neal? And I said, no, I think that's the other guy. I think it's LeBron James. Who cares?
Oh, my God.
Wait, it's getting worse.
Looks up news on Shaquille
O'Neal. No, I did. Might have been Johnny. And I was like, isn't he like 50?
Shaquille O'Neal clapped back at idiot Dave Portnoy for slamming Tom Brady.
He's 54.
That's the most recent headline. He's going to clubs all over the country to be DJ Diesel. That's what he's doing.
We were in Vegas when he was actually working there as DJ Diesel.
I saw him after the Big 12 tournament one year. It was awesome.
You could not get tickets to that. Okay, let's go from the children you don't want to talk about to the animals, because this is interesting. Okay. They have found nearly 100 animals that have now been removed from a home of a postal carrier. And you might think, okay, she's a postal carrier. She's a hoarder. What's the deal? She is suspected of removing and taking the cats from the route.
From her own route?
She would deliver your mail, take your cat.
These are not feral cats. These
No. These are cats that at one point had a home, and the woman that was delivering mail.
They still have a home. It's now hers.
Got some junk here. We've got some political, elections coming up here. And then there's Whiskers. I'm going to take her.
Come here, Fluffy. You want a treat?
No, we'll talk about it. Because this is another case where they're like, I think maybe she's just crazy and needs to go away to a hospital.
You think?
It's also a crime, but also crazy.
You said 100.
100 animals.
You don't need to say crazy. That's already implied.
We sure about that?
You say 100 animals, I already know she's crazy.
She just really liked cats.
And the text line, great point. We never got to Dana's fourth bad story obsession. I'm going to go ahead and just add animal hoarding.
Mm. It's on the list.
Yeah.
It's not as high as spontaneous human combustion.
I think that one's the top.
That's an honorable mention fifth category, right, that she's not allowed to talk about for more than 60 seconds.
Okay.
SHC right. is definitely the hottest one.
I've got it out of my system. We can move on now.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up a little bit later on in the program, if scientists could make us live longer, and I think there are scientists all over the world working on that every day, how old could humans really live? Before,
without your mouth gaping open and someone's spoon feeding you pudding,
there is an age.
Wow, what a picture!
Yeah, I didn't. Wow.
I guess it depends.
All these people, Sam,
get out.
All of these people who say, "I want to live to 100," I always say two things. For a lot of people, not exclusively, but for a lot of people, if you hit that magic number, you're really not living toward the end. You would agree with that. My grandmother, toward the end of her beautiful, brilliant life, was not really living toward the end.
We call that the Mitch McConnell.
She was existing. Was not going to bring that up.
Come on, man.
Really?
That's nothing to do with politics.
It's not really living. And then the second thing I would say, if you want to live to 100, is who's going to pay for that? Because no one has the money to fund a 50-year retirement.
So the oldest human died at 122. Oh, okay?
That's too old.
And she was from France. Jean Colment of France lived to be 122 years old, 164 days. She died in 1997. However, this story from the New York Post says even in this futuristic scenario, researchers are still capping the median human lifespan somewhere between 146 and 194 years of age.
No. The other thing is, you would be devastated because at that age, Scott, you would outlive your children and some of your grandchildren.
Well, not if they're living to be 194.
No one needs to be around that long. Sometimes we don't get wiser. Sometimes we get worse, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I just, who would want to live that long?
My great-grandmother was sharp as a tack, 99 years old, and would say to us every time we went to visit her, "Why doesn't God want me?"
Yep.
And really?
He'd say, "Oh, Grandma, he's just painting your room."
No, my grandma would say, "Why am I still here?" She just kept going, "Why am I still here?" And my dad would go,
How old was she?
She had a lot of mini strokes. And so but you know those farm women's got one strip of bacon a day, one egg in the morning.
One cigarette and a bourbon.
She did not drink or smoke, but those farm women will live forever. They are the healthiest among us, right? Grew what they ate kind of thing. Why am I still here? And my dad would say to her, "Ma, that's between you and the guy upstairs. Quit asking me. I don't know why you're still here." You know, it just kind of became this like joke. I would not want to live that long.
But with all the medical advances, so long as we're ruining our food in the way that we have been, are we going to be able to overcome that? I mean, to your guys' point, they were eating real food. They were, you know, even McDonald's French fries back then had three ingredients.
Steven in Olathe, 913-586-7798. Hello, Steven.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So the oldest person alive is an American who died at the age of 135. But the problem is he's Native American, so it doesn't count.
Why wouldn't it count?
It just doesn't count. He's Native American.
Oh, he's Native American. Is that what you said?
He's Native American, so it doesn't count.
No governmental birth certificate record, I'm
assuming. Oh, come on. What counts to me, Stephen.
Okay. What was the story you had before we went to the break?
Okay. Nearly 100 animals have been removed from a mail carrier, and we do not want her living to 100 or anywhere near it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. Let's have a nice long life expectancy for that woman, but probably not 100. Not the number that matches the number of cats she stole. From Martin County, name the state.
Oh, Florida.
Please. A 77-year-old Florida woman has been arrested after authorities rescued 80 cats from her home. They suspect the mail carrier collected the cats along her route. The news has people in Martin County wondering, hey, I have a missing cat. Did she take mine? 92 animals, including 80 cats and 12 dogs, were rescued from the home in Stewart's Foxwood community on Monday. I'm going to need you to look up this house.
Okay.
Sheriff John Budenseich called it the worst case of animal hoarding he has seen in Martin County. The sheriff said animal control tried to get inside the home for a week, but Gail, the mail carrier.
Oh my, it's not just cats she hoards.
My gosh, Sam, it is floor to ceiling.
The one thing she doesn't hoard is teeth.
Oh.
She does not appear to have teeth. Gail, the mail carrier, you can't even see the sink, you guys. The stuff is piled so high in that room, you cannot see the sink.
That's gross.
Investigators believe she collected many of the cats while working as a mail carrier. She's held the job since 1997. I kind of feel like I've been reliving her loss, quoting here from Megan Remick. Remick lives in the area. She said her cat Savannah went missing 3 years ago and now wonders if Savannah is one of the 80 cats removed from the home. I saw one of the rescuers, animal control guy, bring out a cage with a tiny white cat in it. And I just know there's other white cats in the world, but man, something just hit me. What if my cat had been sitting in that filth, not being able to breathe in a cage for 3 years? It is absolutely horrifying.
I'm looking, oh my.
It there, is.
Look at all the cages in.
Something.
I mean, there are cages, cat cages stacked on top of other cat cages.
Another neighbor, Shannon, just wanted to use her first name, said her tuxedo-looking cat Tux went missing 2 weeks ago. I looked on the news and saw a video of one of the tuxedo cats inside the cage that they were taking out. I am hopeful that is my cat and I can be reunited with my cat. Gail has been charged with animal cruelty and confinement of animals without sufficient exercise. Sheriff's office says they are actively investigating how and when the cats belong to. How are they going to figure out whose cat belongs to who? That's a big old mail route.
I want you to count right here how many cages are stacked on top of each other.
God, it's terrible, you guys.
That's like, four high.
That's four high, but then there's also.
There's others.
In columns and columns of them.
Yeah.
But how does she even enjoy that? It's not like she's enjoying the cats.
I don't know.
Well, like, I love Barb because I like to snuggle up to Barb and pet her and
give her all the lovin', you know?
And she has a personality and she loves you. It's the same with any other kind of hoarding, I would think. How do you even enjoy the animals? Well, somebody who's hoarding, you know, and they have a stack of newspapers from the floor to the ceiling, how do they enjoy the newspaper? They don't.
Oh, you guys.
It's just that's the photo I showed
know,
you.
But like, it's worse. It's worse in color when you look at the conditions that these animals were in. It's so sad.
This is without question a mental disorder.
No air conditioning. How is she even alive at age 77? That is not a home that is inhabitable in any way.
Does the story go into how they found out that she had 80 to 100 cats in the house?
No. It had to have been the smell. Scott, look at that. It had to have been the smell.
Oh, I bet the ammonia was so thick you could light the air on fire.
My God. You know, and I bet she doesn't have any relatives, Scott, or she's estranged from the one daughter she has that lives out of state. And so, you know.
She's 77 and still working for the post office?
It's hard out there.
I guess. I just, you know, I don't know if I feel sorry for hoarders or because it is a mental disorder.
Without question.
We all agree to that, right? All three of us agree to that. It is clearly a mental disorder.
Yo, certainly.
Okay.
It's an addiction.
Yeah, maybe. I would disagree with that in the sense that what I think hoarders are trying to do, and I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist, and I know I have no formal training in this field, but it just appeals to me that what they're doing is trying to fill a void in their heart.
Oh, sure. And here's the issue. If you take all of those animals away, and if you could give her that property back, which you can't because it's ammoniaed to the subfloor, she would start right back over. Mm-hmm. She would start back over because she thinks she's helping. In her mind, she's helping the animals.
Right. And then
by stealing them?
And I'm sure you've watched the show Hoarders.
I've seen it before.
And so, you know, the daughter or the son comes over to the house and they're like, Mom, we got to get rid of this. And they fight tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
To your word, addiction, Sam, almost as if you're throwing out their alcohol or you're throwing out their meth or fentanyl or whatever. They have to have it. For whatever reason, they can't imagine that leaving the home.
Yeah.
And then even on the hoarder shows where the family, they'll come back like 6 months later and they're right back at it again.
Which is why I think it's exploitative. I think they should not, because if this is really a mental health issue, let's all agree that it is.
Sure.
How can they give legal consent to have a camera crew come into their house? You can't have it both ways. And because everybody rehoards, what's the point? I'm not saying they don't need help, but they don't need the help of a camera crew.
50 to 80% of hoarders who seek help, whether it's through the show Hoarders or going to get psychological help, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. immediately
oh, yeah.
return to hoarding.
Well, if they're not being treated.
Yeah.
I mean, going on the show Hoarders, to Dana's point, that's not treatment.
No. Cameras come in and go, oh, my God, look how bad this is.
That's exploitation.
And then they go, oh, look how great it looks now that there's, you know, you can see the carpet.
But with
continued lifetime treatment, that number drops to 20 to 50%. And if they cut out therapy altogether, 100%, mm-hmm. according to studies,
yep.
return to hoarding.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Hey, if you missed a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Let's go to Rhonda in Independence, 913-586-7798. Hello, Rhonda.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going
welcome back, Scott.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. So, yeah, my aunt, she hoarded food, like I was telling Sam, among other things. And when my uncle died, I went over to help clean out the fridge because I knew people would be bringing things in. There was a jar of Cheez-Whiz that was 5 years expired.
Wait, a jar of what?
Cheez-Whiz. You know that crappy Cheez-Whiz stuff that comes in a jar?
That's not really cheese.
In fairness, I think there's so much MSG in that, Rhonda, that you might have been fine.
Yeah, that could be. So, but then I was like rooting around downstairs for it because she had another refrigerator down there. And I pulled out this egg carton and it felt really light. And I opened it up. There were eggs in there that were dried up inside the shell.
Thank you, Rhonda, because Sam said yesterday eggs can't go bad.
Oh, yeah. There were shells and they weren't broken. But you would pick it up and it would like you'd shake it and it was like a little bean or something inside, you know?
Hmm.
I don't know how long it takes.
Yeah.
For,
but Rhonda, explain this to me if you can. Why did your aunt hoard food? Had she been
poor in
her younger years or something?
Well, she lived through the Depression, mm-hmm. and my grandma did, and they always, like, I remember my grandma, like, scraping the butter, you know, wrapper.
Yes,
to
yes.
make sure she got every single little drop off of that butter wrapper, and I don't know, but the food thing, and my mom used to give her pecans, and I told mom, I said, don't give her any more pecans, because she's got a Crafton, sorry, I
almost
said it backwards.
You almost said it.
She tried. Rhonda, you tried. It's been a while since we had to dump somebody. But yeah, she did not need any more pecans, and we do not need to be dumping anybody else on a Friday.
Yes. Tell everybody about this young man in New York.
Yes.
In his studio, 600-foot studio apartment.
Yes. I love this story.
His name is Mendel Umener.
Yes, and he does not collect rotten food or cats or anything like that. He is a voracious reader. So where are my readers? And before we get to the story, I'm just going to show Scott the photo.
I'm looking at the picture right now.
When I say he's a reader, like I have a library at home, okay?
Yep.
Couple hundred books, tops. This is not that. He is surrounded by beautiful books, okay? For a young Jewish scholar and writer named Mendel Umener, books are the wellspring of enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So when he scored a studio apartment a block away from Central Park on Manhattan's Upper East Side a year ago, he brought all his books with him, all 10,000 of them. What followed, at least for a little while, was a charmed existence in his 600-square-foot temple of knowledge. Towering stacks of books line the walls. Heaps of film criticism and opera history, piles of plays and poems block a window. He sleeps on a floor mattress engulfed in dog-eared novels. Waking up around noon, he spends his afternoon on his sunlit chaise devouring the works of all kinds of writers. I am always reading, quoting here from Umener 31. I'm reading to extract knowledge. Every book I own, I need. My manual is my library for life.
Does he have a job?
In comes the HOA or the apartment manager.
It's the landlord, yeah.
The stacks just kept rising. He says, I don't think of myself as a hoarder.
You're a hoarder.
But my building does. This past winter, he received a notice from a building management. You are violating a substantial obligation of your tenancy. Yep. You are maintaining the premise in a severely overcluttered condition, permitting the overaccumulation of books in the premise, creating a fire hazard, I don't disagree with that, by overaccumulating combustible books on the premise.
Why does he need 10,000 books?
Eviction proceedings began. He has fought back in court.
There are books on the floor.
He says, sure, maybe I'm a little different. And I know my library might seem excessive to some, but it's not as excessive as people might think.
Right, but you signed an agreement to live in somebody else's property based on their terms of that agreement. If you do not fulfill said terms, get out.
Mm-hmm.
He is a scholar, Sam, not a crazy person.
I'm telling you. I wish
I
could read.
He is a scholar.
I mean, that much?
He can read and write like 10 languages. He is just a scholar. If they all just lined the walls, I don't think I have a problem with it. If they are floor to ceiling in the kitchen and living room and bathroom.
They're on the mantle of his fireplace.
Well, that's okay. I have books on the mantle of my fireplace.
Dana, they're not stacked neatly. He has so many books, they're just stacked on top of each other, all over the place.
Also, his claims about needing the books are exactly consistent
with what a hoarder would say.
Hoarder out there. I need them.
Yeah, I need these.
Yeah.
Of all of the vices out there, I think this is quoting here from one of his neighbors, I find books to be the least dangerous. I think it's possible his landlord might have their priorities misplaced or might not understand him. If you aren't steeped in his culture, maybe his library does look chaotic. But I argue it only looks like a mess. I bet he can tell you where every single book is located.
What is
in
his
that
culture?
Apartment.
Being Jewish?
And
what does being Jewish have to do with reading 10,000 books? I don't know that that's part of their religious doctrine.
Certainly not plays.
I mean,
I don't know.
I applaud the young man for somehow getting through life without having a job.
No, but you know how Mozart was just mad brilliant?
Yes.
I bet you he is mad brilliant. Like,
emphasis on the word mad.
You would not even, he's so smart. He's probably the key to curing cancer and we don't even know it.
Yeah, but yet he still doesn't recognize the problem that is literally right under his nose.
If I'm not mistaken, Mozart got evicted a few times.
Maybe.
Did Mozart get evicted?
Double checking. I'm pretty sure.
Is it because it's books?
Noise ordinances?
Is it because it's books that I feel bad for him? If it was cats, we'd be like, oh my God, books don't urinate all over the subfloor.
I think because it's books, you have sympathy for him. Yeah.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was evicted in June of 1781.
For what?
He was living in a church and got with somebody that he shouldn't have.
Yep. Well, that's usually frowned upon.
Yeah, I don't like that.
He also, toward the end of his life, actually went mad with syphilis.
I understand. But if this was, let me think of an example.
Newspapers.
Yeah.
I would say it was a fire hazard.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a structural hazard for the building.
Okay, that's my question. How much would 10,000 books weigh versus just anything you would have in a normal apartment? So we have a clawfoot bathtub. Let me tell you right now, it took 9 men to get that thing into the house.
So let me tell you something. As the only mover on the show, okay, boxes come in different sizes. Moving boxes come in different sizes.
Of course.
Right? Would you care to guess what the smallest box is called?
No.
It's called a book box. Now, why is that?
Is it because books are heavy?
Yes.
So the average weight of all of the contents of a studio apartment, 1 to 2,000 pounds.
Okay.
Everything in your studio apartment weighs 1 to 2,000 pounds.
Got it. TV, couch.
Average weight of a book, and I'm assuming this guy is on the higher end because he's such a scholar, we're going to go ahead and say 1.2 pounds.
Okay.
So he's got
10,000 more pounds just in books than the average studio apartment, everything inside.
12,000 pounds. If it's 1.2 pounds.
Yeah, 10,000 more pounds. Yeah.
So then I agree with you. If he's not on a ground floor, there is a weight issue.
There's a potential weight issue.
However, what if Marge in 23C right next door has a grand piano? You know how much those things weigh, Scott.
Yes, I've lifted them before.
I think they have restrictions on that. Like, I don't think I could have taken my pool table to my apartment.
Which are ridiculously heavy.
I'll tell you this, Sam. I wouldn't want your pool table right above my bed if I'm in the apartment below yours for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. The marble that is underneath the felt of a pool table is so heavy.
300 pounds per slate tab, and there's three of them, yeah.
Yep.
I've moved my mind many times.
913-586-7798. If this was any other item other than books, I think most people would say, get out of the apartment.
Oh, but he's so scholarly.
Yeah. Do you think he's read them all?
I bet he has, or some of them, or he's going to get to reading them all.
Sam, what would be the average number of pages in a book?
That's going to vary. 300.
Well, that's why I went with average.
Yeah, 300.
Average number of pages in a book.
But he has like encyclopedias. There's no pamphlets. There's no Cliff's Notes in his house. These are big.
No, this is
War and Peace.
300 to 400 fiction novels push up to 450 on average. Nonfiction down to 360.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a little celebrity news here. Former Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo was arrested overnight in Milwaukee on suspicion of operating while under the influence, according to the county sheriff's department. WISN obtained the arrest detention report, which claims that Romo was stopped Thursday at around 6 p.m. while traveling southbound on I-43, performed poorly on standard field sobriety tests. And he faces a fine of $150 to $300.
Okay.
He even looks drunk in his mugshot.
He doesn't look like he took a shower that day, does he?
I don't think it required a lot of questions. The officer walked up and went, "All right, brother, step out. What are you doing?" Well,
it was 6 in the evening, and Why do people smile in their mugshot? You're having the worst day of your life.
Okay, but wait, can I make an exception?
There's Tony Romo. Yeah, got a little smirk.
Also kind of a D-bag smile, too. Like, can I make an exception with the smiling mugshot? The dude that did the swan dive off of the bridge where the officer went, call Water Patrol. He just jumped. And by the way, he didn't jump. It was a perfect end swan dive.
It was.
If you have not seen his mugshot, this was in Missouri somewhere.
It was in the, it was Table Rock Lake.
He's got a split eyebrow. Like he's obviously when he hit the water with some force, it did split some skin open. He is just grinning ear to ear in that
very proud
mugshot.
If you dove like that, would you be smiling?
It was a perfect 10.
Exactly.
Greg Louganis would have been proud.
Absolutely. Sean Diddy Combs got into a fight with another inmate. The embattled music mogul got into a heated altercation after being dissed. He was dissed.
Oh, good God.
And TMZ reports took matters into his own hands.
I will not be dissed.
One insider says that Combs, who is 56, quote, held his own. Staff members separated the two, and Combs was placed in solitary confinement.
Is he one of the most dissable people in pop culture? Especially with everything we know, allegedly, about him.
Is he the one with the tubes of, you know what?
Yes,
like
they
10,000 tubes of...
They
Luke
said
Combs?
It was baby
that's
oil,
like,
but...
Luke Combs.
What's his name?
Sean Diddy Combs.
Luke Combs?
Sorry. When you said, is he the one of the most dissable people? I was like, no, I think people like him. Did you guys see...
He's got a lot of baby oil.
No, did you guys see at the Morgan Wallen show? This is not funny. Well, funny, not funny. But not funny if it was you. At the Morgan Wallen show, someone who was at that show said a man in the audience urinated on their family.
Oh, yeah.
Family says they are in shock after a man allegedly urinated on multiple people at the Morgan Wallen show Saturday night in Baltimore. And it was caught on video.
It happens more often than you think.
A series of videos about the incident on Facebook has gone viral, racking up more than 1 million views. The name of the show, by the way, is Still the Problem. What do you mean it happens more often than you think?
There was a gal that worked here in the promotions department years ago, and she was she went to a Kenny Chesney concert at Arrowhead, okay? She was in the upper bowl, but not at the far, far top of the upper bowl.
Upper bowl, not toilet bowl.
Well, the upper bowl turned into a toilet bowl. She was sitting in front of some guy. They were waiting for Kenny Chesney to get on stage. He hadn't even started yet. Mm-hmm. And she felt... something on the... No.
Gross!
Nope. I'm telling the truth. She said she felt something warm and wet
I got you.
On the back of her neck, and it went... You know, Kenny Chesney comes here in the summers.
Yeah.
And so she was only wearing a T-shirt. And she said she felt something warm and wet dripping down from her neck down her back. She turns around, and there is a grown man standing behind her going number one.
This guy says at Morgan Wallen, I'm freaking out. And the guy's just telling me, it's okay, man. It's okay, brother. Then they got police involved, and the police said, we can't take him into custody.
Why?
Public urination is illegal.
No evidence.
There is an open, active criminal investigation.
I have urine samples on my back.
So I wonder if this was a situation where they got a good spot up by the stage, you know, and didn't want to lose their spot.
And
so instead of running
pee?
To the bathroom and dealing with the hassle of having to find your friends again and fighting the crowd, you just drop trow and let her go.
Gross.
On another human being?
I'm not defending it. I'm just trying to figure out why this happened.
Why did you leave out the drunk part?
Oh, you got to be hammered.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not
for the guy to go, it's
decision.
Okay, brother. It's okay, brother.
Just sit back and enjoy it.
You just peed on my 8-year-old niece. One of the victims is an 8-year-old.
How do you not get into a fight over that?
Pants are down to his ankles. I'm not fighting with a guy when his wiener's hanging out.
Well, chances are you're going to win.
Got an easy target.
Running away like a penguin.
Imagine if he tripped.
No, Sam, I was not imagining if he had tripped. What's going on in your head, dude? Seriously.
Wow. You painted the picture.
a rabid bat, this is out of San Diego, a rabid bat landed on a munching family's table at a San Diego deli restaurant over the weekend. San Diego public health officials say they are concerned. issuing a notice to anyone who may have touched the bat that they are at risk of contracting rabies and should call their healthcare provider.
I know what I haven't told you. You want to guess how much it cost for a good friend of the program who got bit by a raccoon and had to go in and get...
How do you get bit by a raccoon?
It's a long story. Okay. A series of rabies shots. You want to guess? You have to get 9 shots. A series of 9 shots.
Is your friend's name Carrie?
Nope.
That sounds like a Carrie Emmert thing.
Mm-hmm. It is between $5,000 and $10,000.
You don't get all 9 at once.
Out of pocket to get the shots. And you have to get the shots because rabies is fatal.
News with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.